Chapter 6. The Curse of Aliquippa. It had made absolutely no sense for Gustav Rakatos to have simply abandoned all discipline and, with the door to the European Division Chief's office wide open, tell William Graver to go fuck himself for a second time. Claire George, the powerful number two man in the Directorate of Operations, had been incredulous. "Are you crazy?" he had demanded. Suddenly, within the ranks of the clandestine services, Avrakatos had become an untouchable. The CIA's Directorate of Operations is like the Mafia. You rise and fall with your friends, and, with Claire George now holding the number two job, it should have been Gust's moment to soar. I had taken care of Claire in Greece, and he owed me everything. I figured I was a pig in shit and about to go to the very top. Instead, Avrakatos had not only created a dangerous enemy in William Graver, but also completely alienated the ambitious Claire George, who wasn't about to have his old friend's crude ways compromise his fast track. George didn't just remove Gust's name from the Helsinki assignment. Avrakatos says he cabled all the division chiefs to warn them about his old friend. Gust's two verbal assaults on Graver had made no sense, but, as he later explained, "If you're looking for logic in the way things work, you're not going to find it in me, the Middle East or the Arab world, because that's not the way things work." And no matter how counterproductive his dealing with Graver may have been, even years later it's striking to hear the pride in his voice when he explains why he faced down Graver. "Greeks believe that we are truly God's chosen people, and even when we go to Greek church and fourth-generation Greek-American priests are talking to third-generation Greek-American kids, they're still preaching that we are God's chosen people. And my mother led me to believe that among the chosen I was one of the most chosen. That's very positive. So when you're thrown in with a group of brilliant Ivy Leaguers who know more about so many different things and who can humiliate you through what soup spoons to use, you just remember, Gust, you're the chosen among the chosen. You're a superman. What an attitude that gives you to go through life. You're invincible. So you fuck up. So you make mistakes. But you do what you believe is right, what your gut feeling says you should be doing. You just remember that you're the chosen among the chosen. God will take care of you. God is on your side. It's sort of like the Mujahideen going into battle. You cannot lose. If you survive and beat the enemy, you're the victor. If you die in battle, you go to paradise. You can't lose." But that September 1981, he was feeling very much alone and in need of help. And with the bitter memory of his interview with William Graver fixed in his mind, Avrakatos made a pilgrimage to the town of his birth. It was a 6-hour drive to Aliquippa through the mountains on old Route 40. His destination was the home of an old and trusted friend of the Avrakatos family, a woman named Nitsa. She was in the midst of intense preparations when Gust arrived, an old crone dressed in black, cooking up a strange brew and preparing chants in Greek written 1,000 years before. If Walt Disney had had to cast a woman to play a classic witch, he might have chosen Nitsa. She was, in fact, the town witch of Aliquippa, but ordinarily she only practiced her art benevolently, amulets for protection, cures for the sick, and talismans to ward off the evil eye. Gust, however, was not only the son of her dear departed friend, Zafira. He was the pride of Aliquippa, the young CIA warrior who had saved Greece from the communists. If Gust was in need, all of her dark powers were available to him. And so Nitsa began, "What does he look like?" Gust had managed to extract a photograph of Graver from one of his security contacts in the CIA's badge office. "It was the only place I could get a picture. I explained I wanted it for my dartboard, and they loved that." A puzzled look had come over Nitsa's face as she examined the photograph. According to Avrakatos, she claims descent from an order of women in ancient Greece who were the intermediaries between the lords of the underworld and the gods of Olympus. This lineage was perhaps one of the reasons she approached her role that day with such an exacting manner. "He doesn't look evil," she told Gust after studying Graver's face. "Tell me, what has he done?" "He's ruining my career, and all the cake-eaters will pounce on me and rip me apart." "She understood that," says Gust, "because her husband had been pulled apart by cake-eaters." She looked at the picture with new eyes, then nodded gravely. You're right, he is evil. Nitsa explained that her first move would be to strike where Graver already had weaknesses. Avrakatos then gave her a total physical description of Graver, first identifying his weak physical points, starting with his knees. He looks like a tall scarecrow when he walks, and he has a bad back. Does he like women? She asked, explaining that she would next move to take away those things he enjoyed the most. I think she may have made him impotent, he later said matter-of-factly. Every step of the way, Nitsa insisted that Gust understand the consequences of the dark forces he was asking her to unleash. Now, Gust, you have to want it, she warned. You have to want evil to happen to him. Oh, I want it so bad I can taste it. It will happen, then. What are his favorite foods? I know he likes potato salad and German food, Gust said, explaining that Graver had served many years in Germany. The Nazis had killed Nitsa's mother and father and some of her relatives, and I told her he was a damn Nazi. You could see that her eyes just lit up. It took her about 20 minutes to complete the curse. According to Avrakatos, her incantations, all in Greek, were taken from seldom-used biblical chants written by monks a millennium ago. In the Greek church, explains Avrakatos, some of those monks were like Darth Vader, fallen angels. All the while, Nitsa kept rubbing Graver's picture. It was only a small photograph, but Nitsa belongs to that tradition of people who believe that a camera captures some part of a person's soul. Can I keep it? She asked. You can keep it, you can burn it, you can do whatever you want with it. Are you sure? You'll never see it again. Yes. How soon do you want the curse to take effect? Immediately. I don't know how immediate is immediate. A professional curse will take effect before a health curse. But she assured him, both will take effect. Thank you, Gust said. Is there anything else you need? No, that's it. Certainly, had any of the teams of sleuths working out of the offices of security or counterintelligence discovered what Gus Avrakatos had done with Nitsa, they would have immediately called him in for a psychiatric evaluation. And given his access to the most sensitive intelligence, they might well have considered him a serious security risk. But the session with Nitsa had been a private affair, and the act of drawing down curses and summoning forces from beyond had been miraculously therapeutic. By the time he approached the gates of the CIA, Avrakatos no longer considered William Graver a threat. Nitsa was seeing to that. Meanwhile, the whole experience had managed to revitalize his spirits and once again caused him to believe, as his mother had taught him, that he possessed some special destiny. He didn't know when or how his moment would come, just that he had to find a way to stay in place at the CIA until that time arrived.